Good afternoon to you all. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'll read verses 17 through 34. This is normally read whenever we have the Lord's Supper. Our verse that we will consider is verse 28. Before I read, this is probably one of the more shocking reproofs that Paul has ever written. The way that he reproves these Corinthians because of the way that they partook of the Lord's Supper. The only other place I can think of a scripture where Paul uses such strong language is probably in Galatians chapter 3 when he asked the question to the Galatians, who tricked you into not continuing on in the most holy faith, if I could paraphrase that. And he does the same thing here. His is much longer. And let's go ahead and begin reading here in verse 17 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The apostle, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, says this, now giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part, I believe it. For there must also be factions, or these divisions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. And here Paul kind of slaps him in the face. You're not partaking of the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others. One is hungry and another is drunk. Excuse the amplification, but he almost says, what? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. So here he's taken them out to the woodshed, so to speak. He's given them a spanking, and now he's going to teach them. And remember, Paul was not with the apostles when the Lord instituted the Lord's Supper. So it had to come by direct revelation. And it was. Paul was directly informed by the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, for I received from the Lord that which I also, past tense, delivered to you. I've done this before. That the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. And this is our verse. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened or disciplined by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment, and the rest I will set in order when I come. So our verse here is, so let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. It's a common practice of the Christian to have self-examination. The Lord's Prayer implies this. When we ask the Lord to forgive us of our debts or forgive us of our sins as we forgive those who sin against us, that implies that we're actually thinking about our actions when we go to prayer. And supposedly we should be, as a Christian, going to God daily for prayer, using the Lord's Prayer as an outline. And we do ask the Lord to forgive us of our sins. So that teaches us on a daily basis that we are examining our thoughts, our actions, and our words. This also agrees with our Lord's teaching that if we go to worship, And we actually are using our brains. And we remember, someone has something against me. Our Lord says we are to leave that gift at the altar and go and be reconciled to that brother. So that involves thinking. That involves self-examination. That involves thinking within the context of the church. In this particular case, the context is the Lord's Supper, and that is part of the examination. So what's the context of the examination? It's the Lord's Supper. Well, what does that mean? Does the member have a right view of the origin and design of the table? That's the first question when we examine, when a man examines himself. Reason being, we look at verses 24 and 25. Here we see it's the Lord Jesus who was the one who initiated the Lord's Supper. Paul received it from the Lord, and we have the distribution of the elements, the bread and the wine, to partake of the bread and wine. So his mind is supposed to be set, at least on the origin and design of the table. Paul has informed them of this. Is his mind set on the Lord of the Supper? The Lord Jesus Christ being the one who instituted the supper. Is he thankfully remembering the Lord Jesus' death, mindful of the benefits of Christ's death, his sacrifice, his death? I've said it like four or five times right now. That's what's symbolized here with the bread and the wine. And it is for the remission of sins. When you read Matthew's account of the Lord's Supper, for the remission of sins, for the remission of sins. Think about this for a moment. We're talking about man's greatest need being fulfilled by one act of the Lord Jesus' death on the cross, which we remember when we partake of the elements. Forgiveness of sins. If any of you have sinned this past week, maybe I was the only one that sinned this past week, but if any of us have sinned this past week, and think that these sins are enough to send me to hell, I need a place to come to where there is remission of sin. And that is why we are to be mindful of partaking of the elements, especially these Corinthians, when they partake of the elements, is to remember the death of Christ. This is a public acknowledgement that this Corinthian man, and when the term man here can be used generically, but I would say men need to lead in this way. But men and women, boys and girls that are under the covenant of grace, they should ask the question, am I a receiver of the benefits of Christ? Yes, I am. Am I a partaker of the new covenant? Yes, I am. I have obligations as a Christian. Gladly, yes, I am, especially when I consider what Christ has done. This also signifies, in light of the context, the fellowship that the member has with the other members. Fellowship with the brethren, fellowship with his Lord, fellowship with that local assembly, because of the fact that he is savingly joined to Jesus Christ, and we are also joined to his body, his local body. Okay, so that's the context of the examination. The next thing that we will take a look at is the discovery. There's a discovery here with regards to examining our hearts. The Corinthians here were to examine their own hearts. And we see the word hearts, it means the motives. There's always something driving us to do one thing or another, or our actions and our thoughts. And it is indeed when we examine ourselves to view our sins. These Corinthians were to view their sins and to see their great need of Jesus Christ with a view to his death, symbolized in the bread and the wine. When sin is discovered by the communicant, there should be true sorrow of that sin. There should be a turning from it to God within his soul, obtaining the mercy of God, which is found in Jesus Christ, with a new direction. He must indeed see his need for the Savior, even if he has committed the sin over and over and over again. But here, it appears that while there must be this examination of the man with regards to his sin, his thoughts, his actions, as they are against God, the context does indeed appear to be his relationship with the brethren in the church. Look at verse 18. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part, I believe it. There is definitely divisions that have gone on within the church. the Corinthian member should ask himself the question, did I aid in the discord here in the church? He has to ask that question. Is he at peace with the brethren? Remember, there's that party spirit. There are those who are of Apollos, those who are of Peter, those who are of Paul, those who are of Christ, and they were all in their own little sections, if you will, and they were not united. As Paul said, you should all speak the same thing. Was this man only thinking of himself? And so what's the discovery here? The discovery is selfishness. All he's thinking about is himself. Is all he's thinking about when he's eating and drinking and not considering his brethren. One is hungry and the other is drunk. This selfishness should be turned from. Is he only viewing this ordinance as an occasion of self-gratification, being full and being drunk? He must see this sin as a sin against Jesus Christ and repent of such profanation of the Lord's Supper. Did he come together for the worse? Or did he come together for the better? It appears that the worse is self-gratification. He's not partaking of the elements by faith. He's not partaking of the elements with a view of the cup being a blessing or a means of grace. And if this is his approach to the supper, he needs to repent of such foolishness. He's coming together for the worse. Now, it's good for us, just take a step back as we're considering this particular verse. We need to see the importance of self-examination, making things right with brethren, and therefore making things right with God. When you look at verse 29, he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. The Lord's body can mean one of two things. Either way is going to be fine. Not discerning the Lord's body could be the brethren here, we're the Lord's body, or that which is symbolized of the Lord's body, the bread and the wine. Just really hasn't been doing any thinking about the brethren because all he's thinking about is self-indulgence. Lots of bread and getting drunk. Getting hammered in the Lord's Supper is not a place. Getting hammered anywhere you're not supposed to. But in the Lord's house, no wonder some had gotten sick and some had died. But this teaches us that a failure not to examine ourselves, and these Corinthians here, brings judgment, not discerning the Lord's body. The judgment is sickness and even death. To be discerning of sins keeps the believer from the severe corrective hand of God, which is better than the condemnation of the world, so that they partake of the elements without fear of offending God. In my daily reading, I've been going through the book of Leviticus and looking at all the offerings that need to be offered, looking at the vestments of the priests as well as their conduct. They had to do everything perfect. And if not, they were consumed by God, just as Nadab and Abihu were consumed in fire because they offered profane fire before God. God is holy. He's not to be tested. He's not to be trifled with. The Corinthians did that, and some of them got sick, and some of them died. Now, motivation for self-examination, if you will. In Corinth, it would appear the motivation for self-examination is sickness and death. Sickness and death. That was the motivation. Why is that? Why didn't Paul just say, just love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength? This will cure your backwardness. Well, in one sense, he did. He brings out the Lord's Supper. He brings it out in verse 24 and 25. But extreme discipline is for their gross sin. Their gross sin was one of abundance, was one of drunkenness, and as a result, they received a severe discipline from the Lord. It's sort of like that obstinate son that refuses to obey over and over again. Well, eventually now, Your little child now is in need of some severe discipline, which should be done by the parents alone, not by anyone else. But the proper motivation before we get to that severe discipline would be out of love for Jesus Christ and what he has done on the cross on our behalf. The table reminds us of this. And if one, though, persists in disobedience, the Lord, because of his love for his child, might resort to harsh and severe discipline. Now, let's be balanced here. This, what I'm not saying is after we partake of the Lord's Supper and one of you gets sick, we are not to be judged and saying, hey, I think so-and-so might not be right with God or may have had a wrong approach because now he's sick. Remember, we're not supposed to be judging others. We're supposed to examine ourselves. We leave that with God and how he disperses his discipline to his children. We are not the Holy Spirit, and we are to examine. I have one responsibility when we get near the end of this message, and that is, that's on me to examine myself, and it's on you to examine yourselves as well. But we have to, again, the motivation here for the self-examination, the reason for the sickness, the death, and it's harsh and severe, it's the believers, because they did not properly partake of the table. The apostle, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, brings out the consequence of their sin as a means for them not to sin. Whether it's consequence, whether it's the sinfulness of it, whether it's out of love for Christ, whatever reason we use to keep us from sin, we should take it. And here the apostle does that. He brings out the Lord's Supper. He brings out how it was instituted. If you're still going to persist in the disobedience of being self-centered in the partaking of the elements, severe discipline by the Lord. Hopefully we are partaking of this, examining ourselves with the proper motivation of love to God, love to Jesus Christ. Now, part of that motivation of self-examination is encouragement for self-examination. Now, you may say, wait a minute. You want me to be encouraged by examining my sin? Yes. Yes. God the Holy Spirit desires for us to have self-examination as a good thing. As a good thing. We view the law of God and we see how we did with regards to the law of God. The law of God reveals unto us our sin and reveals unto us our need for Christ. We renew our peace with God by faith in Jesus Christ. Henry Scudder has a wonderful book called A Christian's Daily Walk, and he talks in that book about how to begin your day by renewing your peace with God by faith in Jesus Christ, especially after seeing your waywardness, after seeing your sin. We view our need for Christ. It makes us humble. And so it's a blessing for us to examine, to really look within our heart and even to see our sin and the ugliness and the blackness of it all and to be encouraged, because it's a blessing for us to examine, to confess, to agree with our God with regards to our sins, and we have fellowship with the Father through his Son. We see our greater need for the Lord Jesus Christ, and it promotes peace and unity not only within ourselves and with God, but also with one another. So let a man examine himself. God the Father knows that which is best for us, and self-examination is a blessing. Might be painful, should be painful. There's that old saying, no pain, no gain. That is true here. That is true here. It's good for us to see our need for Christ. It will stop you from being self-righteous, prevent you from self-righteous. Well, what's the other motivation for partaking of the Lord's Supper? Partake of the Lord's Supper. That's the next thing. We look at that in verse 28. Let a man examine himself. He's done that. Time to partake. Let a man partake of the bread and the fruit of the vine. Some make the mistake that when they find their sin in their self-examination, they abstain from the table. Now, in certain cases, gross sins, especially church discipline, that's the right move. Brethren are not to partake of the table then, if that's what it is. It's gross. It's not been dealt with under church discipline, whatever that particular situation may be, that's the right move. But brethren, when sin is discovered through this examination, there's a hatred of that sin, and there's a proper turning of it to God. Obey the verse. Obey the verse. Partake of the elements, and so partake of the bread and the wine. This is meant to help us in our examination and to cure us of our sin. But to not abstain from the table, to abstain from the table, I should say, is not a wise thing to do. We don't get ourselves cleaned up first and then we go to the table. We look within ourselves, we see our sin, we make confession of it, and we partake of the table. We come to Jesus Christ for that cleansing, and so the table is a means of grace for the believer, though he has sinned. Though he has sinned. Now, in this self-examination, there needs to be an eye, a direction to the very God who has made us and sustains our life. I was raised, this is going to come to a shock to you, I was raised a Roman Catholic. You've been under this ministry long enough, you know how I hate Romanism, not Roman Catholics, I hate Romanism. And so this was my activity from a certain age, from 7 till about 18. Every 2 weeks, I would go in and make confession to a priest of my sins. I cheated twice. I lied 4 times. I took God's name in vain 10 times. The priest says, okay, say 4 Hail Marys. Go in peace. I absolve you of your sins. Okay, what's wrong with that? Other than obviously confessing my sins to a priest. The big problem is I've not been, my eye, my direction is not towards God. I made my examination. I now go to a man with a backwards collar and hope that he will forgive me of my sins. And he directs me to pray to Mary. Okay, so everything is here. There's no looking to God at all. What I should have said when I went into the confessional booth is I have worshiped God with images. I have confessed my sins to a priest. I have had prayers to Mary instead of to the Lord Jesus Christ. They would throw me out of the church immediately. I'm using hyperbole here for a reason. What I'm saying is all this, especially when it comes to the Lord's Supper, our direction, our self-examination has got to be to the Lord. We command our children, the fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother. And when they disobey mom and dad, it appears that direction of the commandment is towards their parents. And if we only deal with our children in that area, we haven't considered that the sin is against the very God who gave that command. So it lessens the sin. All I did was disobey my parents. No, when you disobey your parents, children, hope I have your attention. By the way, children, did you clean your room? For those at beach camp, you clean your room? You learn how to iron, read your Bible, you're praying, good, keep doing that. I'll keep asking every chance I get. This is serious stuff. But the children need to be directed to the very God that they have sinned against. Yes, I disobeyed my parents, but you disobeyed God, the very one who gave that command. We get short-sighted. We don't see the seriousness of our sin. Even when a preacher preaches, some merely look at the man and not to the Lord Jesus, who's using this instrument to direct his people of increases of faith and hope and love, and especially to the unbelieving of salvation in Jesus Christ. The way this happens is, how was the message? It was great. What was it about? I don't know, but the man was very engaging. What was it about? I don't know. So sometimes the messenger needs to be forgotten and the message needs to be remembered. What I'm saying all this is that our attention, our eyes need to be to the Lord when we give direction with regards to the commands of God, when God's word is being preached. Not that it's God's fault when the minister lays an egg on the pulpit. If he lays an egg on the pulpit, that's on him. But if he doesn't, all glory goes to God. Our eyes are different now. Our eyes are to the attention of the Lord. And so when we have self-examination, when we're looking at our relationship with the brethren, we're looking at the law of God, and we are examining ourselves and making confession to God. Our direction is to the Lord who gave the command to us, the Lord Jesus Christ who instituted this table, and so let a man examine himself. Let's take time now to quietly seek the Lord before we partake of the elements so we can partake in a worthy manner. Let's all pray.